let's pray first, okay? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, God. We praise you and worship you. And God, we ask you, Father God, for your, Lord, understanding and your wisdom to be open our hearts, Father God, to understand the things of you, Father God. We love you, God. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Amen. Can we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? In verse 34, let's read that for a minute. Let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also said. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Amen? You guys didn't, I bet you some of you guys didn't even know this was in the Bible, right? And then some of you do know that this was in the Bible. You try to avoid this subject instead, like, what are we going to do with this word? This is in the Bible. I just want you to know, I just read the Bible. It's in the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Okay? So, you know, I know some of your women are ready to throw a stone at me, so I need to, get myself prepared. Now, when you are facing this kind of difficult scripture, you should never be afraid, because Bible is inspired by the Lord, and there is always reason behind it. Now, if you take the scripture, that one or two verses, and you take the doctrine out of that, then you're going to have grievous mistake. Okay, and unfortunately, a lot of the denomination actually did that. And they actually took this kind of the one or two scriptures and others, and they do not ordain women. Unfortunately, when you go to some seminaries, they do not have Master of Divinity for women. And so all those things are there. And so, but we, in our daughter of faith, are Pentecostal movement, right? Pentecostal church. When you look at the Pentecostal church will not exist without women. Did you guys know that? Yeah. I know our founder is a woman, but she's not the only one. The time that when the Pentecostal movement was arising, 1906, and until that time, there was incredible woman of God who rose and spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecostal movement would not be possible without woman who stepped into the place. Now, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, God, you know, why in the world are you know, before I was understood the scripture that way, why I said, God, how do you silence woman? You guys all know, women speak a lot more than we do, right? The guys, right? Yeah, isn't that true? Yeah, I've been married to my wife for like 37 years. And, you know, my wife is very quiet in front of you guys, but she's not very quiet in front of me. And she have a lot to say, okay, about me and other things like in our private, right? And I'm telling you, when you look at the church, okay, there is a lot more women than guys. You know that, right? I am convinced when we go to heaven, there's a lot more women in heaven than the guys. It is true in a lot of ways, you know? And so you look at this scripture and say, what do you do with this scripture? Well, you do not look at the one scripture or one verse to interpret this whole thing. You have to look at the context. The Bible is all about context. What is it all saying? Why the Paul wrote this scripture? In what context is he writing about? So in order to understand this scripture, you have to look at not just chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. You have to look at chapter 12 and 13 and 14 all together. So when you look at chapter, what is this about? Well, first of all, 1 Corinthians was written by Paul to correcting the church. I'm telling you, this church had a lot of problems. Okay? But you know, when a child is growing up, I got saved and touched by God, you're going to have a lot of problems. That is given. And as a parent, our job is to correct them. You know, I have a very incredible grandchild. He's so cute. I love him, but I spank him too because I need to correct him. Because he throw temper tantrum. He goes, grandfather don't spank? Well, my son don't spank him, so I got to spank him. Okay? Correct him into the right direction. Right? So, you know, that's what Apostle Paul was doing. That he is what? Correcting the church for what was wrong. Nothing wrong is correcting. Correcting is a good thing. Right? And if you do it in the right way. And so Paul was correcting what was going on in the church. And that's why he was talking about many things, including Lord's Supper and all those things that talks about it. And in here is correcting and talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 12, talking about gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you guys to understand and know this, okay? Pentecostalism is not something that we invented. Pentecostalism is in the Bible. And when you look at the book of Acts, it's all over the place. I am very convinced that early church was Pentecostal. You cannot read book of Acts, but can't help it, but say that, wow, miracles, signs and wonders. They spoke in tongues. All those things that we try to practice here in this denomination, in this movement, they did it there. And God moved powerfully. It wasn't fake miracles. It was a genuine, powerful miracle. Move in the power of the Holy Spirit and touch the life of the people in a very powerful way. And Paul confirmed that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And saying that, yes, miracle signs and wonders still happens. But, he said, you need to utilize it in the right manner. So when you look at chapter 12, it talks about a gift. I want you guys to understand and know that we have a gift that God has given us. All of us have the gift. That we are born with a gift. Not everybody's same. So when you guys, I'm an educator, and when you guys are looking at your children, do not look at them and say, you know, Koreans are really bad at that. And say like, okay, you got to be, you know, lawyers and doctors. Not everybody's made up for that. Not everybody's academics. Right? So you have to understand their gifting as a parent and raise your children accordingly. That's what Proverbs was talking about. Okay? Raise up your child. And when you look at the Hebrew language, and he said, according to his gift, and he will not depart from it. And so we need to understand that. And that is a gift and the talents that you're born with. But this gift that they're talking about in chapter 12 is something that God gives to you as you come to the Lord. And you have 9 different gifts that it talks about. And one of them, they talks about speaking in tongues, interpretation. It talks about prophecy. One here, it actually talks about a discernment of the Holy Spirit. You know what discernment of the Spirit. You know what the discernment of the Spirit is? I knew a person who had it. A lot of you think that discernment of the Spirit is like, oh, you know, when I go there, I feel that, you know, demon spirit, or I feel that this person has a wrong spirit. It's a lot more than that. I know my spiritual mom who had a discernment of the Spirit. She could actually see demon manifest in the spiritual realm. And I know that she have a gift. See, when you cast out demon, when person is possessed, okay, and they do have that, not everybody is, but they do have some cases, and when the person is possessed, you got to have the discernment of the Spirit to see what is going on in the situation. And, you know, she actually talks about, like, He said she could smell the spirit. He said she go in somewhere, it's like I smell the foulness of the Holy the Spirit. And I look at it, I said, I could actually confirm what she said through the scripture. You guys know that? When you look at it in the scripture, in Leviticus, and in all those, the books that talks about offering, it say this. When they do a burnt offering, and you know, burnt offering is that you take the animals and you burn it all the way down to the ashes, right? And he said, it is sweet aroma to the Lord. You guys, okay, I know some of you guys love barbecue. And if you take the meat and you grind it down and you bring it down to the ashes, it doesn't smell like a sweet aroma. You guys know that, right? What was the Lord talking about? He was talking about spiritually. There is a smell in a spirit that when you are giving things to the Lord, that your dedication and your offering is a sweet aroma to the Lord. My spiritual mom moved in that direction, a gift of the discernment of the Spirit. Those things exist, guys. And it's practiced by some people, okay? And because God gave it to them in that direction. The problem of Corinthian church was that they were using it in a wrong way. They were using it. And some of you guys received the tongue. What do you do with the tongue? You know, some people, I don't know about this church, but a Korean church, they go, I got a tongue. You want to hear it? Get on the telephone. It's like boasting about it and saying all those things. You shouldn't do it in that way. And other thing is, some people get up out of order and while pastor is preaching, speaking in tongues. Bible said, that's why Paul said, I'd rather speak of five words that could be understood than speaking in tongue. He wasn't downgrading the tongue. He was downgrading a person misusing the tongue in the wrong place. You guys understand what I'm trying to say? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talking about the tongue, and then all of a sudden, I mean not tongue, the gift, and all of a sudden it jumped to chapter 13 talking about love. Right? Did you guys ever thought it was very strange that they're talking about love from the gift to tongue? But when you really look at it, that's not very strange. And some people even misinterpret and saying, you know, the greatest gift out of all the gifts is actually love. So you need to seek for God's love, the love. No, that's not true interpretation. The love is way we have to practice for all the Christians. It's not a gift. It is something, it's a direction and a way that we all have to practice. Not just some people have a gift of love and that person could love. And I don't have a gift of love, so I don't have to love anybody. That's not what Bible said. Bible said love everyone. Love your neighbor, isn't that right? So love is what? The way, the means we conduct ourselves as a Christian. So what Paul was saying is this. When you guys are practicing your gift of the Holy Spirit, you need to conduct it with heart of love. You guys understand what I'm trying to say here? You know, there's one... gift that they talk about, a gift of a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. You know what that is? It is a supernatural knowledge that God gives you when you look at someone that you have never known before. That's what word of knowledge is. So what does that mean? It means like this. When you're walking down the street, and this happens before, and then you look at someone, that person is perfectly okay. And the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you and saying that person is about to commit suicide. You need to go and talk to that person. That's word of knowledge. And then you go there and then you start speaking to them, pleading with them, and then lo and behold, that person was about to commit suicide. Those things happen all the time. When Brother David McDonald comes, why are you guys so marveled at him? Because he moves in a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is what? How to apply that knowledge that God has given you at that time and to what? Give him the words and a direction how we're supposed to do with that place, things. But you know, when you have that kind of gift, you got to really be careful. Because you could misuse it and you could actually hurt the person. You know, I know someone that who has that kind of gift, and sometimes that person really misuses it. Go there, that person. Like, some of the things is private. Just because that God reveals something about that person's life, you cannot expose it to everybody. It is private. So you have to go to that person privately and with a loving heart and confront whatever that you need to confront with. Amen? But when you start to do it out of your ego, out of what? Showing off, then that gift will not become edifying to that person, that it becomes what? Hurting that person. That's what was going on in 1 Corinthians. And that's why Paul was saying, hey, you gotta do it with love. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about. Now come to 14. It still talks about gifting, but it goes one step further. In 14, it talks about what? It talks about gifting and worship. How does the gift of the Holy Spirit manifest and utilize inside the worship? You guys, what kind of worship do you want to have? Do you want to have a worship that you come and you read the liturgics and here and there and respond reading and then you just did that and hear a message that is kind of halfway dead and then you say, I did my duty today on Sunday. Let me go and see NFL. NFL become your worship, by the way. You just came to the church. Just do your duties. Do you want it? Do you want that in the direction? Or do you want to have a worship that is vitalized, powerful? I know some of you are saying, Pentecostal is too radical. Pentecostal is like, wow, you know, people are laying down on the floor. We didn't have that yet, you know. I wish that we had that. All those things and people are like speaking in tongues, interpretation happening. Whoa, but there's a life in there. If you do it right in the order, it's a life. Something is happening. Some people come, you know. We can't compete with the world. World have a better rock concert than we do. World have better things than we do. You know, world have a better games than we do. You know, world have better, what, lock-ins than we do. Better picnics than we do. They got a better food they brought in than we do. We can't compete with the world in that area, but we can compete with them with the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is a people comes. Wanted to hear what the psychologist said. They didn't come here to want to hear, hey, you know, what the latest, you know, soothing word is talking. They wanted to hear the word of God to hit them and touch them and convict them. They wanted to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that is real. That's what they want. And when they come, and, you know, some of this radical Pentecostal worship, I hear so many times. I hear this, and I'm not suggesting that we do this, you know. And, you know, when you guys go to a black church, they're wild. You guys know that black Pentecostal church? They're extra wild. Man, some people, like, do somersaults and all that stuff on altar call. You think our altar call is wild? Oh, they do all kinds of stuff. Right? So this rich guy never darkened the door of the church, came, and somehow came to this wild church. And he sat down and he goes like, man, this is crazy. What is church? What kind of church is this? And then he said it in his heart. He said, God, if you're real, make that preacher do what? What is that? Somersault right in the front of me. there's no way that guy's going to do that. You know, guess what? Soon as he said it, the preacher came out, and then he was doing somersault right in front of him. Because of that, he came to the Lord. I'm not saying that if you got to do that. I don't think I'm in shape to do that anyway, right? But I'm just saying, God moves powerfully, but you got to do it in order. That's what in chapter 14 talking about. You got to do it in order. Yes, gift of the Holy Spirit is moved, but when somebody's speaking in tongue, okay, unless you have, okay, or interpretation, be silent. Let two or three do it and wait for the interpretation. What is that? It's talking about the order. And order under the pastorship, under the pastor. And, you know, being a Pentecostal pastor is much more difficult than Baptist. Because, you know, Baptist, you don't have to deal with that kind of things. But Pentecostals, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When some weird people come, you have to kick them out and you have to do something about it. Those things I saw in my Bible college. It happened all the time. And I remember my pastor, he looked at it and some people go like, ah! I said, man, you're out of order. You better sit down and be quiet. But sometimes there's a person who says something radical, and that person, the pastor knew, he's not out of order. He's doing it in the Lord. And he allowed that to happen. And guess what happened? At the end, man, everybody got blessed and touched by God. So you have to do it under what? Under the authority or the order of the pastor. I want you guys to understand that. You know, when you go to orchestra, okay, symphony, everybody have different instruments. Is that right? There's one person who conduct those things, a conductor. Everything seems to be like out of order if you do it the wrong way. But conductor tell them, you could do this, you could don't do this, do this on time. And when those things are happening, everything creates what? Beautiful harmonies. Pentecostal worship is that way. In chapter 14, talks about it that way. Okay? Now, they got a problem in out of order in chapter 14. Because back then, long time ago, they actually sit, okay, in culturally sit woman in one side and man in the other side. Okay? Everybody did that way. But I want you guys to understand and know it is Christianity who liberate the woman first more than any other. Do you guys know that? You don't need to know of a feminist movement. You just need to come to the Lord. Because the Lord liberate the woman. Because back then, woman as class, treat them as a second class citizen. You're a woman, you cannot, you're not going to be educated, you're not going to school. All those things what Muslims doing, they did that back then. But you know, when the Christianity came in, they having worship together, they liberate the woman. But they had a culture that man and woman do not mingle together. So even though they're married, and when they have worship, one side is woman and the other side is man. In the middle of that worship, things are happening. Wow! Prophecies and other things, you know what? And then woman, in the middle of the message of the pastor, got up from one side, walked down to where the husband is, and go down there, and then she starts asking. It said, what is going on, honey? Disturbing the service. That's why, when those things were happening, what was Paul doing? Paul said, woman, be silent in a church. It's not just actually talking about woman. It's actually talking about a person who's disturbing the service. Be silent in a church. What does that mean? Be silent when pastor is giving your message. Do not hinder that message. And if you have any question, what does it say? go home and ask your husband. And back then, because woman was treated as second-class citizen, they're not educated. They don't know what's going on. So that's what they did. So the one who was able to, at the time, as for Christian, and able to educate them was husband. They said, go home and ask your husband. Now you understand? You got the picture here? Okay? And so the whole point here is not woman being silent. Whole point here is what? Do not disturb the service in a wrong way. Amen? Now, I got a point. That's not the whole, my entire message. I know you guys are all happy. So, Pastor, who is finishing early today? I know. I might be later than Pastor John. I just want you to know, okay? You know, when you look at that, right? What was God is saying in chapter 14? What is God? See, that's the thing that you have to really look at when you look at the scripture. What is God? Why did God painfully take time to say about being silent and being orderly? Because God is saying, if you have nothing to say that is edifying the body, nothing to say, he said, you need to be quiet. But at the same time, if we have something to say that is edifying to the Lord, you cannot be silent. I wanted to read one more scripture for you guys. Let's turn to Book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 80. It says this, and the child grew and became a strong in spirit. And he lived in the wilderness until he appeared and publicly to Israel. What is this verse about? This is about John the Baptist. Okay? John the, Luke talks about John the Baptist pretty extensively. And John the Baptist was cousin of Jesus. He was born 6 months earlier than Jesus. And his job, his calling, was to raise up and prepare the way of the Lord. Now, one of the things about John the Baptist was this. He's a significant man of God. Did you know that John the Baptist never performed any miracles? And John the Baptist only had a 6 month of ministry. Do you guys know that? When you really search about him, he only had a very short time. But his ministry actually rocked the world, especially the Israel at the time. Bible talks about it this way. When you really research about the background, at the time of the John the Baptist, when he came out of the ministry, John the Baptist, at the time of Israel, that the whole Israel, they call it going through a 400 years of silence. From the time of Malachi until the John the Baptist came to the scene, for 400 years, God did not speak to Israel. You guys ever heard about a book called Apocrypha? Apocrypha? Yeah, some of you did, right? Okay. Apocrypha is the one that was a book that was written in the time of that 400 years. Okay? And, you know, the Catholic Church actually canonized that book, and they use it as a part of their Bible, okay? But the Reformers reject that and said, this is not a word of God, and did not put it into our Bible. There's a huge difference between that. But do you know who originally reject Apocrypha? Anybody know? It's not a Reformer. It was actually a Jewish scholar. A Jewish scholar said this was written during the 400 years of silence. So this cannot be the word of God because God did not spoke to us. That's why they rejected to become the part of the Old Testament in Jewish Bible. So it wasn't Christians who rejected it initially. It was actually what? It was actually Jewish scholars who did that. My point is this. The reason why I say that is because they took that thing as very seriously, that 400 years, God did not speak to them. But you know who broke that silence? It was John the Baptist. It was John the Baptist who came out of the wilderness. But before that, what was John the Baptist was doing? John the Baptist was what? He was growing up in a desert. Guys, what do they have in a desert? Do you guys ever went to desert? I did. When I was in military, I went to a desert. You know what do they have in the desert? Nothing. There is no internet. Cell phone do not work. There is nothing. Not even a grass. It's a sand and that's it. Everything is one color, brown. That's it. And I look at it and I was like, oh my gosh. And I had to spend a whole month there. I was like, gosh, no. And there's one thing they have. You know what they have in desert? You got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Absolutely. Only thing they could do is train a little bit, eat. And the rest of the time, there is no internet, there's no TV, there's nothing. Nothing's worked there. So what do? Either you're a Christian, read the Bible, okay, or you talk to someone and you're bored to death. Where was John the Baptist grow up? In the desert. You know, we have too much distraction in our life. We got internet, we got social media, we got all those TVs. You guys don't have a room for the Lord. We just sang the last song. I have a room for you, Lord. I make a room for you. Do we really? Do we really make a room for him in our life throughout the day? You understand what I'm saying? So John the Baptist grew in a desert. And this is what Bible said. In that verse, last verse say this, in chapter 1. He said, his spirit grew strong. Let me ask you something, guys. We could have digital format, instrument, everything else. But what makes a difference in the hearts and life of people who comes here? The strength of your spirit, of the leadership. A strength of the of spirit among the elders and the pastors who what? Who goes to the desert every day. And do not let anything distract them. And spend time with God. And when they come out of the desert, they have the word from the Lord. That we cannot be silenced anymore. But we have something to say to the people that can change the hearts and life of people. You know, John the Baptist came out. This man was strange. The man wore a camel's cloth. You know, it's camel's belt. He ate a grasshopper. You guys ever ate grasshopper? I did. They taste really good. You know, if you cook it in the right way. But I don't think they know how to cook it. I don't think John the Baptist know how to cook it in the right way. I think he ate it raw. But he ate it with the honey, you know. In Koreans, they used to take that. When I was young, my sister go through the rice paddy, and they didn't use pesticides back then because they didn't have money to do that. And they got a grasshopper everywhere. She got the grasshopper about this big. And she put it into a frying pan with the soy sauce, and then she fry them, and they give it to us, and it was good. But I don't think that's good back then. He ate the raw grasshopper. Can you imagine that? Put it into, dip into the honey, and he was it. That was his diet. The man was straight. But so I don't think John the Baptist was properly shaved. He probably was like, hello. So can you guys imagine? You know what's the big reason why that I don't grow beard like, you know, Pastor Darren? Because you have so much to take care of. If you eat something, you get into your mustache and beards. You know, you got to really, this is nasty. I said, forget it. I'm going to cut it all off. So can you imagine? Honey? That thing sticks. So when John the Baptist come off, he eat what, grasshopper with the honey? He got grasshopper legs everywhere or his beard. He said, repent! And he got grasshoppers everywhere. You know what I'm saying? The man was strange. He had a grasshopper, the camel's clothes on, grasshopper everywhere, his beard. That was his diet. But you know what it was? One thing about him, they loved him. They loved his message. What do you love about his message? What was his message about? Repent! And everybody came. Come on, guys. If I say it every single day, repent! I know what you did. Repent! Yeah, repent. You think you're going to come here? Absolutely not. There is no way. But everybody came all over Israel to hear this man saying, repent. And people were repenting. And he was what? Prepare the way of Jesus. You guys know that we are the John the Baptist of this generation. We are the one that Jesus is about to come back for second time. And we need to prepare the way of the Lord and cry out and say, repent. But you know what? We are like those women. We do not have a proper word for the Lord. Our words are what? Are powerless. And we are what? Because of the powerlessness, we are being silent. When transgender movement was coming up in this nation, the church was silent. When homosexual marriage was about to be passed, now we were all silent, but we were too silent. When all those issues were going on in our nations, we were silent. Because you know what? Church is the strength of this nation. Reason why God raised up President Trump is because church is too silent. We need a person like John the Baptist. You know, we had past day, couple of days, we had a very sad thing that happened. There's a person named Charles Kirk, right? He got shot and got killed. Or telling the truth. You know one thing great about him? He was a great Christian. He loved the Lord. And age 31, just like age, probably the John the Baptist got beheaded around that age. Age of 31, he got killed. Doing what? To telling the truth to the young people. He impacted what? More than anybody else in this generation, to the young people. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. They might have shot and killed him, Charlie Kirk, but God's going to do something powerful through his death. Because what devil meant for evil, he will turn around for good. And I'm going to tell you, we as a church cannot be silent anymore. We as a church and the young people, hey, young people, listen to me. I know they're all upstairs right now. But you know what? They cannot, don't waste your youth. You are not too young to be used by God. Charlie Kirk was starting up his movement and ministry when he was 18 years old. He stopped. When he was 18 years old, like he stopped going to a college, community college that he go to. He said, their church tried to brainwash me. And he started his movement. And going around the campus and debating. He wasn't mean, but he said, hey, we have a right of freedom of speech. And one of the things that he put out forefront is that, hey, Jesus is my Lord. And when his wife came out for 15-minute speech that she had, you guys, you could check it out on YouTube. One of the main things that she was saying was that how incredible it is to be a Christian. How she will not be silent. Because God have used Charlie Kirk and God is going to continue on. You guys. Yes. If we are a people like those women, we need to be silent in a church. If we don't have nothing to say that will impact the heart of the people, we need to be silent, church. We need to go into deep into the, what? The desert. And you need to spend time with God. You need to go there and you need to, right, you need to cry out before the Lord, just like John the Baptist have done. And we need to receive the words. And when we come out of that desert, we cannot be silent. We need to speak out. We need to tell. You know, Matt, go out in Waikiki and he speak the gospel. And he tell about Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to do that. But you don't have to go to Waikiki to do that. You could do that to your neighbors. You could do that to your people around you, people who live with you, your loved ones who doesn't know Jesus. You cannot be silent. You need to cry out before God and say, God, give me your words today. That I want to speak the words that matters the hearts and life of people today. Amen? Let us be silent in the sight of the world. The things of gossipings, things that disturb the things of God. But let us not be silent of the things of God. Tell people about how great you are. Tell people about what is righteousness is all about. Tell people about how to live for Him, how to live this life according to the Lord. You know, Charlie Kirk died very young age of 31, but he lived the life of fullness. Oh my goodness. And he died as martyr. That's my dream. I don't want to die in a nursing home. I don't want to die, you know. I want to die as a martyr, maybe in North Korea. That's my dream. Because I want to make my life count for Jesus. What about you? What about you guys? What do you want to do for your life? We got a very short time, a short window that we have. Let's utilize that for the kingdom of God. Amen? Can we do that? Amen. Can we all stand? Hallelujah, God. Praise Jesus. Can we just close our eyes? And I just want to challenge you today. And bow your head. And before we leave this sanctuary, before we just leave this place, I'm not going to ask you to come up. I'm not going to do anything else. But as we hearing this message, hold this message, as we go on to our ways, can I just ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Whatever life, the time that we have left. Because, you know, just like Charlie Kirk, when he went to Utah, he never thought his life going to be end that day. He never thought that God, his Savior and Lord, will call him that day. But you know what? God can do that. He can call you anytime he wants to. Your life can end anytime. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? I want you guys to be up. Can we just have prayer right now? On your own, with the Lord. Talk to Him. God, if there's anything that in my life that's hindering you, hindering to come to you closer, to hearing your word, God, help me to touch it and remove it, Lord. If there's anything, Father God, that I need to go closer to you, anything that I am not giving up, God, help me to give it up. Oh, Lord Jesus, may your heart, may your spirit touch me deeper. Move in my life, Father God. Hallelujah. Let's just call out to Him. Can we just do that? Individually. Do not let anybody hype you. Just between you and God. God, here I am. God, here I am, Lord Jesus. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours, Lord. Let me use it for your glory. Let me use it for your glory. You are so awesome. We love you, Jesus. Can you put your hands on your chest right now? Let me just pray for you. Father, we just want to thank you. You are such an incredible God. There is nothing in this world that is more important than you. And God, I am so blessed because I'm here in this. I could be anywhere in the world. I could be lost and doing any incredibly bad things. But you called me and saved me and touched me that I'm in here in your presence with the incredible brothers and sisters of the Lord and to worshiping you. And I just want to thank you that you gave me a privilege to serve you. Lord Jesus, I ask you that you will touch me and use me and give me your words to speak to the people around us. Lord Jesus, may I be a lighthouse to my neighbors and to the people around me. Oh, Jesus, thank you for what you have done. Touch me, Lord. Move in my life. May I walk in a place where you want me to walk. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If there's anyone who this message was for them and they're saying, Lord, I need you in my life, Lord. I need to accept you as my Lord and Savior. If that's you right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. Remove anything in my life that's not of you, Lord. Lord, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Allow your Holy Spirit to guide me, to guard me, and gird my life. I just thank you, Lord, today. I want to be called a child of God. And all these, I thank you. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. For those online, thank you for joining us. It'd be great if you could come next week face to face. It's time to have fellowship with other believers. All of you here today, thank you for joining us, Lord. Thank you for each and every one here today. Have a blessed rest of the day. Amen. God bless you all.